Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come together for this day of worship that we all, with one heart and one mind, resolve to say thank you for all that you have done for us, for providing us so sweet a salvation that we would have the opportunity to spend this time in our walk now on earth with you, knowing that we would continue that relationship with you forever. Lord, we thank you because of your love for us, that we would have the love for you, and knowing that you are our one true living God. Lord, again, this truly has been a blessing for this day, and we thank you. We ask that you continue to bless us through this message, and by your word that you would speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, good morning. It sure has been a morning and a great privilege to see the effect of God's call in an individual's lives this morning. Most of you have gone to church all your lives or have heard different messages, heard sermons or Sunday school lessons, and might have thought, well, that's enough. I've heard it. I've been there, done that. Don't need to do any more. It's quite enough for me. Thank you. And after all, millions and millions of people out there in the world are still going about their lives today, and there's so much more that they are doing rather than going to church. But that church is so important to us, to come together, to be as a family, as a body of Christ, to be able to worship our Lord and our Savior together. Just hearing a sermon or going to a Sunday school class or hearing a message on TV or radio really isn't enough. Does that really qualify you as one who has heard the call of God? What actually you might have heard or what some people have heard on a particular Sunday morning is rather the alarm clock going off, or their mother chasing them out of bed telling them to get ready to go to church, or a spouse saying, come on, we got this to do, that to do, but we're going to church. Is that the call of God that really affects our lives? Does that qualify us as hearing God's voice in our life? The unfortunate fact is that the promptings that I've just mentioned are not the promptings of the Holy Spirit nor the promptings of God. And that is what we need to hear. We need to know that it is God's voice that is speaking to us, and that He is the one who is telling us to do things. Let's face it, especially during the summer months, it's difficult to get to church. After all, wouldn't we all rather be outside enjoying a beautiful day, rather fishing, golfing, preparing to go to the beach, so many different things that we could be doing, instead of spending a portion of that glorious day of warm sunshine and beautiful weather in a particular church? So why is it that any given Sunday, all around the world, there are people who come together in churches on beautiful days, putting aside the beach, the golf clubs, the fishing poles? How is it that there are people sitting in churches that may not have air conditioning, that are hot, churches that they have to go travel great distances to come to? As a matter of fact, around the world there are churches where people who enter those churches are taking their very lives in their hands. But yet they go on a Sunday morning. And that's because they've heard the call of God in their life. They've heard His voice calling them unto Himself. They have a desire to worship the one true living God and to say thank you and praise our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They're taking their hands in their lives because they understand what He has done for them. There are churches in Egypt, in Iraq, in Pakistan, in Indonesia, where you hear reports where, because of the large concentration of the Muslim community, that they'll go into different churches and just wipe out people. But yet those churches on the following week will still be populated. And yet in our country, on a beautiful day, It's so difficult for us to get up and get out and to come to churches, whether they're hot or air conditioning. But those who come, it is because they have heard the call of God on their lives. And what call is that, you may ask? Well, this morning we will look at the Gospel of Matthew, and we will first see the effect of that call on the apostles' and disciples' lives. Would you please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4? We will look at verses 18 through 22 in the Pew Bible, that is page 960. If you would follow along with me, I will read from Matthew 4, beginning with verse 18. Now, as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. We see in these verses here a wonderful illustration of God's call on the individual's life and what the effect is. Here we see in this part of Scripture that Jesus is just simply walking by the Sea of Galilee. This is the area in which Jesus was basically raised. He was born in Bethlehem, which is down by Jerusalem. But after he had gone to Egypt and come back with his parents, that they had settled in Nazareth, which is way up north, which we would consider the house of Israel, part of the 10 tribes that had separated and gone north. And he grew up and he was raised in this area of the Galilee. And it's interesting, as I was looking at this, you can see where Jesus was born in the south, raised in the north. And that's because he's going to unite Israel into himself. And he will become king of one nation. And that's just not one particular geographical nation, but a nation of all who are called and hear his voice. And here we see that Jesus is just simply walking along the shoreline. And he mustn't have been noticed by many people because he was not one who stood out. He was not coming along with an entourage nor a group of people. He was just simply walking by himself. He didn't enter the area as a king would, with trumpeters before him and people making their way to see who it was that was entering. No, he was just a simple man walking along the seashore. And as a matter of fact, we get a brief description of his appearance from the book of Isaiah. And Isaiah writes in one of his prophecies in chapter 53, verse 2, "For he grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him." Now, this was a prophecy written approximately 700 years before Jesus even was born. So here he is walking, and he comes upon Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew. Two brothers working hard, simply doing their jobs, casting their net into the sea, hoping that they would be able to collect enough fish to be able to bring to market or to eat, because they were fishermen. I'm sure the main thoughts on their minds that particular day was that, well, if we cast our nets here, maybe we'll get a good harvest of fish, or over here. But their mindset, their focus was on making a living. They were hardworking fishermen, and that's where their focus was. Sounds pretty much like us today. We go about our lives, not necessarily as fishermen, but whatever occupation we have. Teachers, lawyers, architects, office workers, bus drivers. Some of us might even be conductors on a railroad. Some of us might even already have the pleasure of retirement. But each one just goes about our lives thinking of what needs to be done in order to survive and get along. Our focus is making a living. That is, until out of nowhere, when you least expect it, if you remember Candid Camera, when you least expect it, all of a sudden, along that shoreline in our lives, Jesus comes to us. He comes right up to us. And we don't expect it, but he says to us, "Follow me. I will make you fishers of men." Now you will say, "I haven't seen Jesus walk up to me. Nobody has really approached me and said, 'Follow me.'" No, most likely he hasn't been that physical being standing before you saying, "I will make you fishers of men." However, he has called those to be fishers of men to touch our lives, to bring that gospel message to us, to make it real for us, so that we, upon hearing it, realize that we have fallen short of the glory of God. And that it is because we are separated from God because of our sins that we know that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Yes, God loved the world so much that it caused him to show by his grace and by his love and his mercy to show us who have sinned Jesus, the very form of his mercy and his grace and his love. He is his only begotten Son, and he has given him to us. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God himself. Jesus died in our place upon that cross in Calvary, where he was our substitutionary sacrifice. He became the very Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And as this person who brings this message to us, who delivers the gospel, he is that fisher of men. He tells us in the awesomeness of God and his love, grace, and mercy, that the Holy Spirit then takes those very words which our ears hear. The Holy Spirit takes those very words and moves those words from our ears, from our mind, down to our heart, changing our hearts of stone into hearts of flesh, upon which God can work. He can mold, he can shape, and he can bring that heart unto himself. We see this in the very lives here in this illustration, in the gospel of Peter and Andrew, when Jesus shares this message by just two simple words, "Follow me." We see that effect also in the other apostles' lives. And in verse 20 we read the effect. "Immediately they left their nets and followed him." The word "immediately" here in the Greek means just that. At once, straight away, forthwith. There wasn't any debating with Jesus. "Wait till our nets are filled. But let's get the fish back to market. Could you just wait until we do what we need to do and get it prepared so that we can go with you?" There's no debating when you hear that call. When you hear those simple words from our Lord, "Follow me," you do just as the apostles. You immediately drop yourself, your lives, and follow him. Certainly that morning, when they arose, they were looking to a full day's work. And this encounter with Jesus and their leaving of their nets was not on their minds. Just goes to show the mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Before God's call came to Noah, I'm sure on that day I'm sure that day when God came to Noah, he was not planning on being a shipbuilder. Abraham, as he sat in Ur, worshiping idols, doing what he was doing, that he never thought that he'd be the father of the faithful to God. And Moses, while he was living the good life in the household of Pharaoh in Egypt, wasn't planning on leading millions of these people, complaining, whining people, out of Egypt and into the desert. Just as Paul had witnessed the stoning of Stephen and thinking that he was doing God's work. And as he headed off onto the road to Damascus, he never realized that he'd be so much more satisfied by giving up everything, his position in life, everything that he has, in order to share that gospel of Jesus Christ with the Gentiles. And the list goes on and on. In any case, one night when I was working on the trains, working for the Long Island Railroad, I had no idea what Socrates would do to me. He would ask me if I would die that night, whether I'd go to heaven. And of course, I said yes. I wasn't that bad. I wasn't that good, but I wasn't that bad. And he said, no, it's by the grace of God and the faith in Jesus Christ and him going to the cross alone that'll allow you to enter into his kingdom. And from that night, when I went to work, not suspecting that my life would change, that one day I would be here to have the privilege and honor of performing baptisms. Oh, you never know the steps that God he'll bring you to. This is the life-changing effect, the world-changing effect, that comes when Jesus Christ comes to you and says those two simple words, follow me. So as we continue in these verses this morning, in verse 21 and 22, you can see that Jesus, the true fisher of men, is out there filling up his net, building up his kingdom. And in each case, each time he comes to them, to the individual, they immediately drop what they are doing in order to follow him. And that's what today's baptisms is all about. Each one of us who have heard those words, follow me, have dropped not necessarily what we are doing, but dropped who we are inside. As we go down into that water, it shows by that testimony that we are dying to ourselves, but that as we come back up, that we understand that Jesus died for us, he paid that penalty, but as we come back up out of the water, that we are renewed in a new creation, that he has transformed our very lives. The rising out of the water shows that newness of life, shows that Jesus Christ has called us and our desire is to follow him. He rose from the tomb for us. The least we could do is to follow him into the waters of baptism and back out into eternal life. So again, I ask, how is it that on a beautiful summer's day, when everything is great, there are churches that are filled, that there are people who come together on a beautiful day to set aside a portion of that day to worship, to come together, to praise our Lord? I mean, they dress up sometimes in ties and coats, and they enter these hot churches, or they enter into a church where they might not be able to leave with their lives, but yet they still go. It is because they have heard those words, follow me. They enter those churches because they know the love and grace and mercy that has been shown to them by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which gives us that desire, that heartfelt desire to worship him. Coming together on a Sunday morning, offering our praise and lifting his name on high, to worship the King of Kings, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We love him solely because he first loved us. So on that day when you least expect it, and you're living your life and you hear that small, still voice in your ear, follow me. Allow the Holy Spirit to take those words, bring them to your heart, and then you will see that immediately you will drop your very life for his sake. Prepare yourself for the time of your life because you don't know what path he might bring you down. It'll be one of the most exciting times where you turn each corner saying, yes, Lord, lead me. Which way will you have me to go? My heart's desire is to follow you. And you will follow him, not only in this lifetime, but you will follow him through eternity. And that's the true blessing. Amen. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you this day for all that you have done for us and the privilege and the celebration of seeing baptisms, to seeing the testimony of the effect of your call, follow me, upon our lives. Lord, we thank you. We ask that you'd be with each one of us this day and through our walk on this earth and eternity, that we would hear your voice constantly say, follow me, that we would submit our lives to you and be your servants. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.